Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers. We got Brian Kelly with me. We got Evan on the board. And we are joined this afternoon by our friend William Walter. Guys, how's it going this Thursday afternoon?
It's going.
We're feeling isolated, man. But all together now in one, and what, all of our heads are stacking up on each other like a totem pole.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Today's the totem pole episode of Dueling Tangents, and that is A-okay in my book. A-okay. Folks, you're listening to this fine program across the Civic Media Network here in Madison, Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. In Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in the Shaw. And across the state on Civic Media, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and radio from the center in Richland Center. If you want to join the show, share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. But we've got a fun show for everybody out there. We've got a couple of tangents. A lot of public transportation today is going to be in the realm of where we're going to be throwing around our tangents. But we'd be more than welcome to hear yours out as well through calls or text, 844-967-2789. Brian, you got to avoid the snow, man. You're in the no snow area.
The backyard is now completely soaked. My dog is completely soaked as well every time she goes out. And when I'm home, she likes to take advantage of that because she has to tell everybody in the neighborhood. My dog is the town crier. She tells everybody in the neighborhood what is going on everywhere. And it's fantastic. Right now she's silent, so good for us.
Fingers crossed it keeps that way. Will, you get a lot of snow by you, or you get just mostly rain as well?
No, I mean, we got a little bit, but it's mostly the slushy, cold rain, arguably worse than snow, because that stuff freezes over. You can't walk around. Like, my dogs, unlike Brian's, they're little and they very much like to keep to themselves. So going outside, going pee and running back in is one of their, you know, favorite activities. And you can't do that when their little feet are slipping around left and right.
Yeah, I went to bed last night with the rain coming down, and I was surprised with how much snow the Madison area got. But one thing that would be really, really nice if you had a snow day and you still wanted to get around, but you wanted to avoid the slick roads, whether it be the ice, the sleets, the snow, whatever, would be public transit. Like, I don't know, say a train between Madison and Milwaukee. Wouldn't that be nice, Brian, if you had to make the commute over here to the Civic Media headquarters and you could just hop on a train and take that passenger rail for about an hour, maybe get some work done even, and then appear here in Madison?
What I can tell you is I would feel like I was Jason Bourne in those movies that came out 10 to 15 years ago, because they couldn't film them here since the United States has 54 miles of high-speed rail. So, again, I would feel so high-tech like Jason Bourne, or like any other, I don't know, all of the other civilized countries in the world. Just...
Welcome to the 21st century. We're only 25 years too late.
Dude, I mean, we are stuck in the 80s in a lot of different mindsets. And my goodness, we in fact paid to not have rail here.
We did. The Republican-led government for the state of Wisconsin, former Governor Scott Walker, and Republican legislature said, no, we're not going to accept the federal dollars to provide high-speed passenger rail from Madison, or well, excuse me, from Milwaukee to Madison to the Twin Cities, essentially create a corridor through the state.
If you were a resident at the time, and let's say you were part of the tax group that paid for that, you'd have to go to to Lagos in Nigeria, right? I
believe that is correct. That is where our trains were supposed to be. Train cars were supposed to be here in Wisconsin are now in Nigeria, taking commuters to and from work, but on a separate continent. But Brian, I bring this up because we found out today the Republican leader of the state Senate here in Wisconsin is in unity with the assembly speaker in opposing any state dollars to fund passenger rail coming to Madison. Makes perfect sense, right? We've got a looming workforce shortage that we know if we don't do things differently by 2030, we could lose out on hundreds of thousands of jobs. We know that the climate is a huge aspect and being able to transition from individualistic cars to, say, commuter rail to address greenhouse gas emissions to just it making sense to make people's lives easier. There's really no logic to the Republican unity when it comes to saying no to high-speed rail coming to Wisconsin.
Oh, I see the logic. Their logic is just, we want to make life worse for Wisconsinites. How can we do that? And then they're all in agreement, like, oh yeah, no, something that would help them out. No chance.
I would like to hope it's at least some sort of donor-ish issue or some sort of, you know, this makes somebody X person richer type of thing. William, I totally see where you're coming from here, but I always worry about painting someone as evil because that's just like people going, let's see here, let's see what I can do, which is what it seems to be. And I'm agreeing with you that it completely seems like that.
If it walks like a duck. Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm totally in on that. But at the same time, I still feel like we should at least pretend like it's some sort of nobler reason, like money.
No, it can't be about money, Brian. We've got $6.5 billion in our state surplus.
That's reserved for tax cuts for the ultra wealthy. Let's make sure that that's understood first and foremost, because that money has to go back into our campaigns.
Even if you wanted to take Robin Voss at his word to say, okay, we're going to do at least a $3.4 billion tax cut, there's still $3 billion to play with. It is insane to think that you couldn't say, I don't know, take $100 million out of that excess $3 billion and say, well, we're going to put that towards making life easier for Wisconsin residents and addressing the workforce shortage, being able for workers and employers to have better ease of getting employees to where they work. It's nonsensical for us not to say, hey, let's change it up and address the transportation crisis, because we also get nonsense like we're having public hearings right now for the expanding of I-94 in the Milwaukee area, the freeway around the American Family Field, AmFam Field, where the Brewers play. It's about a 3.5 mile stretch, Brian. Guess how much money they want to spend on expanding that 3.5 miles from 6 lanes to 8 lanes.
30 to $40.
No.
I was going to say $49.99.
$1.2 billion they want to spend to expand 3.5 miles, 2 lanes, rather than just improving the 6 lanes that are there. And so we know that there are things that we can do that make sense. And for whatever reason here in the state of Wisconsin, it seems like we're doing the options that don't make as much sense. We're going to spend way more money on a freeway exchange that does not need to be expanded. And we're not going to put any money towards passenger rail to actually address some of the demands that Wisconsinites want to see.
I got a theory.
Yeah.
As long as Brian and I are using the walk like a duck, you know, old timey analogy, you give a mouse a cookie, right? You give Wisconsinites a little bit of something that helps their life, they're going to recognize that the role of government could be to improve your day-to-day situation, and then they're going to become dependent on it. And as soon as Wisconsinites become dependent on the government helping them out, the Republicans have lost.
Well, I would hate to become dependent on a Republican paycheck, like I don't know, the entire state legislature that just cashes them and doesn't do anything since the beginning of March. Like, that is the just another nonsensical aspect of this whole argument that we are now finally just hearing from legislative leaders on problems that are addressing the state after they've taken the last 9 months sitting on their keisters and collecting those paychecks.
You know what it reminds me of too, Luke?
So frustrating.
I've told you this story before. I don't know if it was on air or not, but a few years ago during the pandemic, 2020, my assembly rep held the first town hall that he's had in ages. This was Dan Knodel, and he was talking about when the federal government had offered $5 billion to the state of Wisconsin, and the Republicans turned it down. And my question was, you know, do you have such little respect for your constituents that you are that you don't want to take this money to improve our infrastructure, to improve our roads, to improve our schools, anything that would help the lives of the people that you represent? And what he said to me was, federal dollars are like cocaine. You get a little bit of, you get a little taste of it, and all of a sudden you need more and more and more. And we don't want everybody to become dependent on that. And like, I was like jaw on the floor as if it was a 90s Looney Tunes episode, like that he would say, not only believe that, but like say that to his constituents' face. Like, yeah, I wow.
Yeah, to and to think that he's so dependent on, I don't know, the taxpayer dollars that he's going to say, well, I'm going to hang it up in the state assembly, possibly for a chance to go run for the state Senate is ridiculous. So the same people that have that mindset have no problem trying to benefit their own pocketbooks for running for these offices and then sitting in them, squatting in them to insist that nothing can be done. But they are happy to receive that government paycheck. It is ridiculous.
Well, that government paycheck and that government funds go to wherever they want them to go if they're not earmarked for the people. And what would happen? My follow-up question is, like, how does he think the government is supposed to work in the first place? Oh, that's right. They don't
want it to work. They want it to fail.
Huh. Because that's... it's why you run on no ideas, because when it doesn't work, you can say, see, it doesn't work. You got a stake with me. I'm the one who says we shouldn't work. And it totally makes sense.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, joined by our friend William Walter this Thursday afternoon. You want to share a tangent? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. We're joined by our friend William Walter on this fine Thursday afternoon. Gentlemen, it's an interesting conundrum, and I think we might have nailed the nail on the head when it came to just saying, well, Republicans don't want government to work, and that's just one more reason why the state will not provide any state funding for passenger rail to come to Wisconsin while they're in charge. It's kind of just par for the course. It's upsetting to hear that there's going to be that much unified front when it comes to delivering for the state of Wisconsin. We could address workforce shortages. We could bring more people into the state at easier cost to have passenger rail come to areas in Milwaukee, Dane counties, and they just hate those two counties.
Or, I think there might be a part of that. We could do none of those things.
We could just cry about the problems with no solutions and just go from there.
Well, again, every single problem that comes up is yet another political football you can blame the libs for.
That I think that's a pretty key component of it, too. Yeah.
How do you blame the libs for not bringing...
overspending. Overspending, once again. Overspending. If they weren't spending so much and they weren't trying to go and like do the Green New Deal. No, it's the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal cost way too much, and that's it. So it costs too much. You can't spend money except for rich people. Those are the only people who know how to do things, just like Elon Musk. He knows how to do everything.
That's an excellent, right? excellent segue, because with Will on, I know that he is a little bit of an addict when it comes to the Twitter, like myself. And are you still on the site? Have you jumped ship yet,
Will? I can't leave. I'll be honest. I don't want to call it an addiction because I'm having a really, really good time. But like, I'm not going anywhere. This is a lot of fun.
I think his strategy may be in part just he wants to have the conversation about how outrageous, like very similar to how Trump took the stage in 2015 and 2016, just making it all about outrage. Like he was the only thing you could talk about in the Republican primary for president and eventually the general. Elon Musk is just being like, well, all you can talk about right now is me. I'm just going to be so absurd that I'm going to drive so much traffic to my own website that I own now because you can't do anything else but talk about me.
He's doing that old any publicity is good publicity type thing.
And just run, just flooding the zone with
garbage. He's so thin-skinned. I can't see that being he's still throwing a hissy fit 4 days later that he got booed at a Chappelle show. Like, the dude is just like, you have not just all the money in the world. You are quite literally one of the, like, five wealthiest people in the history of our species. And you're just an adolescent toddler.
He just got demoted. He's no longer the richest man in the world. Some luxury brand CEO.
Arnault. I mispronounced that, but yeah, he surpassed him. He owns like every ultra wealthy, ultra high end clothing line that works its way up to him. I forgot what the company is, but
This is made from tears. All of these are made from tears. This is my tears line. All of the people who made them cried as they did so. It cost an extra $1,000 to oppress them, but it was worth it. Delicious. I assume that's who that person is. It doesn't matter. Honestly, mispronounce their name on purpose. Make them have to make a law that you have to call people by what they want to be called, and then they will self-own themselves, because Elon Musk has a whole problem with people calling them being called what they want to be called. I think it's coming full circle. This is great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and it was only 10% boos, guys. It was 90% cheers, but 10% boos. But in the same week that happened, he then decided to change the user agreement for the website that he spent $44 billion on after initially purchasing it, saying, well, I won't ban accounts. Like, even the one that tracks my private jet, I won't ban that one. Because
I'm such a free speech absolutist that I would never do that.
And it's only been a couple weeks, and that account now is banned. You cannot see it's still on Instagram. The account still has a
and version Truth of it. Social. Ooh, Truth Social was advertising that Elon Jet is still here. Donald's swooping in.
I just want to say, guys, if you're in, like, let's say like a five car pileup and all five cars are on fire and you happen to be partially on fire and waving at all of the people driving by, people are watching you because you're on fire, not because you're popular. I'm just saying that, like, Elon Musk, it's not because you're popular. It's because you're on
fire. I was going to say, how many of those cars are a Tesla? Was it a Tesla
that started the fire?
I left it implied. I left it implied. It was a two-layer joke. It was a two-layer joke.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to give us a call, share a tangent with us via phone or text, 844-967-2789. Brian, we got Fred in Cottage Grove on the line.
Yes, we do.
Fred, what's on your mind?
How you doing, Fred? What's going on, man?
Hey guys. Hey, I'm all for it, but I'm not wanting to go downtown. I mean, the airport's got facilities. It's got the tracks. It's got parking. That's the big thing. They're talking about the tourists coming in for Capitol and UW and stuff. What about the people that want to go out of town? There's no place to park downtown. None.
Yeah, I mean, that's a consideration. Why not have a stop in the main airport area and also a spur that comes in?
Yeah, there's absolutely exactly. many different ways. And the city of Madison is trying to discuss those. And the Republican-led legislature is just saying, no, it's just flat out, we're not sending any state funds to even explore the possibilities of what this project could mean for the city of Madison, for Dane County, for Milwaukee County, and the state of Wisconsin as a whole to further advance along the 21st century. Foxconn isn't going to win the 21st century. Investing in our communities will. We're going to talk a little bit more about Foxconn when we get right back. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, joined by our friend William Walter. Stay tuned on this Thursday afternoon. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers, Brian Kelly joining us on the air, as well as William Walter on this Thursday afternoon. If you want to join us on the show, 844-967-2789, you can call or text to share your tangent. You're listening to the program across civic media here in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7, the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, radio from the center in Richland Center, Lake Aaron Amory, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. And Brian, let's talk about the elephant that is always in the room here in Wisconsin. Since back of the napkin deal was signed to bring it to southeastern Wisconsin, and that is Foxconn.
I've been waiting for this thing to come to fruition for so long. I mean, I've been told it's going to help us win the 21st century by Scott Walker. You know that when Scott Walker makes a promise, he's going to keep it. Like the 200,000 jobs that he promised to create while he was governor, he totally kept that promise. And then the Foxconn winning the 21st century, Like people were clamoring to like own this deal. Like Trump was like, this is my deal. It wouldn't have happened if I didn't swoop in and do it. And everybody came down and they had shovels and they all got pictures with shovels talking about how amazing this wonderful deal is. And when you ask any of those people about it right now, the most they'll give you is Tony Evers ruined the deal. And about that, that's about it. I mean, they have Mount Pleasant, where this is located, they moved people. They moved their entire homes. People had their entire homes uplifted and moved. They were offered, yes, 150% over market value, but or 50% over market value. Like, and my point is they were offered more than what their home was worth to move and stuff, but it doesn't make it like, again, when that happens and then nothing happens there, I mean, isn't that a slap in the face? And then every year, Mount Pleasant has this wonderful, oh my gosh, hiring spree. Every summer, it's every summer now. Foxconn is hiring. They're gonna do it. The plant is coming back. Willy Wonka is gonna make chocolates again, and they're gonna open the factory, and people can work there. And then, oh wait, in January every year, those people they get hired get laid off. Oh wait, they're just there to suck money out of the Wisconsin government and the Wisconsin people and give it to China.
And to reach those employment quotas every year. That's why it. That's why they get canned as soon as the new year hits.
Yes, they get those quotas and they get the tax breaks and the tax dollars and they funnel it to China. They speaking of funnels, they also have a stick in the lake. They have the city of Waukesha was like going to run out of water and have a huge water crisis if they didn't figure out how to pump water in from either Oak Creek or Milwaukee. They had a bunch of different proposals. My point is that Foxconn just got a stick. Here you go. You got a straw in the water now. No environmental regulations to pass up. Everything they moved, they don't have to reset. Like there was a law where it was like, if you move a floodplain, you have to create another floodplain somewhere else. So the water has a place to go. No such thing with Foxconn. And if anyone challenges it, guess what? It gets expedited right up to the Supreme Court, directly to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, who's, by the way, a little bit conservative. And a lot of those people got paid by the same people who made the Foxconn thing work anyway. And besides, it's all because Scott Walker made a back of the napkin deal and couldn't decide to figure out how to do it right. Or didn't know what to do because he's Scott Walker, but he had a great time. He had a great time doing it. My God. And the entire Southern Corridor is free of any traffic because it's so huge and gigantic for all these no passenger cars and trucks that are going to be coming through for all this glass, and there's going to be ancillary jobs up to 40,000, and there's going to be so much extra commerce coming in here because all it's none of it. They're barely even renting out the space for other uses.
Yeah, you can't bring Oshkosh Defense can't come and make next gen state of the art vehicles for the postal service on the property. They're pretty much refusing to lease out the space that they do have, that they've constructed these empty warehouses in. They got a nice little shiny crystal globe looking thing. And I'm really, really glad that you had that pent up for so long, Brian, because that just came out perfectly.
Oh, because good, because it really like it just
Brian's
flowed.
Gassed. Yeah, he's like, dude, I've been waiting for this moment.
I think
been a minute. It's been a minute since we talked about Foxconn here on these airwaves. So therefore, it was building up and it was inevitable to be released like that. Because, yes, we all know that the technology industry is burdened by the cyclical nature of summer hiring and new year firing. Unless you want to put it in the lens that they are trying to receive state tax benefits and then shed those costs on the payroll as soon as they've qualified and received those benefits. And so that is why Foxconn is in the headlines again this week, Brian. Over at the AP, Foxconn qualifies for Wisconsin state tax breaks again, $8.6 million in tax credits based on the creating 768 eligible jobs at its southeastern Wisconsin facility. This reading from the piece.
How many? I need to read that number very slowly and very loudly.
768 eligible jobs at its southeastern Wisconsin facility.
They promised 13,000. Not 1,300. 13,000.
You know what they say. You need to have 768 before you have 13,000.
It's a step in the right direction. Come on, guys. It's really hard to hear, like, read all the details off of that napkin that was done on the back room deal. You know, I can't tell if the smudge of the ink is due to the beer or somebody's sweaty hand. And then it throws off the whole calculation of how to get 13,000 jobs to southeastern Wisconsin. But that's investment that the Republicans are all for. Devin LeMahieu. Sure, let's give $4 billion in tax incentives to a foreign corporation that's not going to deliver, but we can't invest in passenger rail or high-speed passenger rail because it might benefit Milwaukee or Madison. It may bring more jobs to those areas. It could address the workforce shortages that the state will see, but we're not going to do that.
Well, there's no way to get that money back into their pockets. Which it was really easy for them to do with the Foxconn arrangement.
Well, yeah, Claude Lois is making out like a bandit with this whole thing.
That's what I was just looking up. Claude Lois.
Just like yesterday we got to call out our friend Frederick Prent up there in Wausau, that Wausau dentist that's squatting on the Natural Resources Board. Now, today's a Claude Lois shout out and telling him about all of the blank timesheets that he's submitting. They're for 40 plus hours a week, and he's raking in a couple $100,000 a year from the village of Mount Pleasant. But yeah, let's tell the folks a little bit more about Claude Lois, Brian.
Yeah, Claude Lois is the first off, I encourage everybody in the Wausau area to make an appointment with Fred Prenn and to go into the office and to seek him as a dentist and make as many appointments as possible. And then maybe cancel them right in the last second or so, or, you know, within the 24-hour time period, but also do that over a period of time to the point. I'm just saying it's a possibility. There's a lot of scheduling conflicts that can happen in those situations. I'm not sure his schedule is very tight and you may have to get work. Anyway, point is that he's a dentist in the Wausau area, Frederick Prent. Moving on, Claude Lois. Claude Lois is a tick. He's a tick. He is the representative for Foxconn to Mount Pleasant. His job once a month is to show up at the Mount Pleasant board and say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is how we're in compliance. And his job is to communicate back and forth. So a couple of people did, can we see your schedule? Blank. It was blank. It was blank. It just like they didn't even bother to like fill in. Like they like wasn't even like it, we're, I'm just I was no, doing he was, stuff.
He
was
that's not how much stuff. He thinks of us. Yeah.
Yeah. He was not afraid that anyone was going to be checking his homework. Like he was just submitting timesheets without any actual work that could be held accountable on those timesheets.
By comparison, Michael Gableman's quote unquote investigation has more information and or work cited than Claude Lois has.
And that's saying something, folks.
And Claude Lois, by the way, is making about the same amount, I want to say. He's like 10 grand a month from the city of Mount Pleasant. This isn't like the...
I think it's north of that. I think he got a raise a few months back. Like he's making probably $150,000 a year off the taxpayers of Mount Pleasant. And the connections that he has to Robin Voss, who also lives in the same area, are pretty stark. So like you're right, Will, when it comes to like these deals going to their friends' pocketbooks, it's pretty telling that these guys are doing this in public, out in the open, and can get away with it.
Because you've never faced repercussions in your life, why would you be concerned of it now?
That's true. Because nobody knows the name of Claude Lois, and you should all know the name of Claude Lois, and shame on him over and over and over again. As reported by WPR, last year around this time, December 21st, every month Claude presents the progress of the Foxconn development to the public, village and state officials, special interest groups, and stakeholders. This is according to Kapoor's website, Kapoor & Associates. As of December 13th, Kapoor & Associates billed Mount Pleasant approximately $362,000 for 2021, which was largely for Lois's salary.
Yeah.
Since 2017, Kapoor has billed the village about $1.23 million. On November 1st, Lois's calendar indicates one 90-minute meeting with Foxconn from 1:30 to 3 p.m. The calendar indicates the rest of his day was free, but the time card shows he billed for 9 hours of work. The next day he worked from an hour, and he billed him for 10.
You got to be a real sleaze to even to just like lie about that would at least be respectful enough of us to make it seem like you're trying to do something. Like to just leave it blank is just.
And that's almost, what he's able to get away with. The Republican legislature has put zero oversight on that project and the coordination that they are now responsible for. This is a deal that was, yes, brought together by former Governor Scott Walker, but passed through the Wisconsin legislature by Republicans like Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu. And now this is a continuation years on out. And Kelly Gallagher, who runs the group A Better Mount Pleasant, has been a vocal critic of Foxconn. And this is reading again from the piece over the Associated Press, said Foxconn remains the largest failed publicly funded economic development project in U.S. history. Not Wisconsin state history, U.S. history. Quote, Foxconn's late summer hiring spree for public dollars will inevitably lead to new year layoffs, Gallagher said. It's become an annual event in Mount Pleasant. So we're going to expect to see similar trends, as Gallagher has pointed out in years past, where come 2-3 weeks from now, there are going to be layoffs in the Mount Pleasant site at Foxconn because they only hire these folks for tax purposes. We've had reports out that there's Foxconn workers that have nothing to do. They're sitting around the facilities asking to go home, but then they don't get paid. But there's nothing to do. There's no work being done in southeastern Wisconsin at Foxconn because that's the kind of public investment that Republicans like for Wisconsin, not public transit that would be beneficial for the entire state.
What does it all matter when the former mayor of Burlington, where it just so happens that, you know, Robin Voss is from, the former mayor of Burlington, Claude Lois, can get, you know, upwards of a six-figure salary, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 a year, not just from a salary. I mean, he has other leech. He's a tick in other places too. He's a multifaceted leech. But this guy has been sucking out of Mount Pleasant at the tune of a couple $100,000 a year. Congratulations, taxpayers of Mount Pleasant. I'm sure that you feel better about the money you got moved. Good for you.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We are joined by our friend William Walter on this Thursday afternoon. If you want to join the show, share a tangent. We've got one more segment coming up left in the day. 844-967-2789. Give us a call, and we're going to continue to enjoy the conversation.
I forgot to mention the bill was signed and read in 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. They did it in the middle of the
24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian. We're joined by our friend William Walter. And guys, this is going to be kind of a curveball out of left field for the show. Not a huge difference for us, but the National Archives just dumped 13,252 never-before-seen files related to the JFK assassination.
They did. They pulled the trigger on it, huh?
Oh, too soon, Will. Too soon.
Oh, I didn't even consider that. I'm going to act like that was done intentionally, but...
Now I can't use my blown away thing. I'm blown away.
But oh, jeez. I'm sorry, Brian.
It's just it's mind-blowing, the revelations.
That would have been better.
Look, we're just...
I don't even know what to say to those guys.
It's explosive.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know what? You know what? The thing is that none of us ever saw it coming. You know,
guys. Well, what do you think is going to be in these 13? That's a lot of documents that are all of a sudden.
I do want to point out that it was supposed to be released during the Trump presidency, but he pushed it back. I forgot what the signing was, but it was like 50 years to the day of the Warren Report. Was supposed to be the official release day, and that has been perpetually pushed back.
There's reports coming out, and this literally just dropped, like while we were in the last commercial break. There are still a few records that are being recommended to be held on to by the Biden administration due to indefinable harm for agencies. So this isn't the complete trove of documents.
Why don't you just say we totally screwed
we
it
did
up?
It. To me, it sounds like they're saying, like, yeah, it was the CIA. It was us. We know.
We don't want you guys to know. We don't know. We want you to know who and what. We'll give you the other reports.
Get some details. Yeah, we'll get some details about the one of the most sought after secrets of the United States still of how that all unfolded. But we won't get all of the information.
I'll tell you two things. One, if it was anything worth anything, Trump would have used it. That's why he pushed it off. He probably hasn't figured out a way to profit from it yet. Two, that's probably where he got the Ted Cruz thing from, saying that his father was there, or whatever, because he was probably referencing that information.
Probably
misunderstanding it and then referencing it in that type of thing. But either way, he could not profit from it. So therefore, nobody knows. Or, you know, we would all know. If it was anything that like he could tear the government apart with that, he would have released it.
That's a good point. And well, it's a pretty interesting week with some of these revelations that are happening, because also the U.S. government announcing for the first time ever that fusion has been achieved in a laboratory setting. Brian, yeah, what are you?
Great.
I know you're very excited about this. You're an optimist when it comes to technology. Nothing can go wrong.
No, nothing. We're gonna have unlimited, very free power, and we're all gonna kill each other with it. It's gonna be great. It'll be happening faster than anyone can say. I wonder what this happened. What happens if I do? Dang. This is great. It's like fusion. Like they put two in and they got three out. That's amazing. you know, for energy. That's amazing. I mean, this is a huge breakthrough. This is like Star Trek level type of breakthrough technology. I mean, obviously you're not going to see anything realized for probably another decade or anything for actual practical uses. But I just keep saying, fly Icarus, fly. Keep going, buddy.
You want to get too close to that little handheld sun that Doc Ock uses in Spider-Man 2? Yeah. That's the whole plot line.
Well, by the time you get there, you're supposed to have built your own magical hands to touch it, right?
Yeah, they're probably working on those in the laboratory.
Perfectly safe.
But yeah, it is a pretty big breakthrough when it comes. Well, a huge breakthrough, not just pretty big, a huge breakthrough when it comes to technology. If clean energy can actually be brought down to a scale that we could use across the nation and the world, yes, this is a game changer breakthrough. and I think it's good. But this is, again, I think it's important when we talk about energy and climate change that one scientific breakthrough isn't going to solve.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to be like, the point that I'm getting from Brian is that, don't worry, everybody, climate change won't kill us. We'll kill ourselves before that becomes a problem. That sounds like an argument ExxonMobil would make. Like, hey guys, like, yeah, we're kind of ruining everything, but don't worry, you'll kill yourself before that becomes a problem.
We're going out on our own terms, really, is the point. And the thing is that someone could float over here from Wakanda and like come down and float into the Congress and give a presentation via hologram, and give them all their own magical computers that cost 2 cents to make that do everything for them, and they would go, no thanks, I'll take the pickup truck home.
It's that Rick and Morty episode I referenced a few weeks ago, Luke. Dinosaurs come back with super advanced technology, and the president of the United States is basically like, hey, we got to get rid of these people. They've solved all the problems that we've created. And it's like, it's a perfect encapsulation of everything that the ultra rich have done.
That's it.
And see, it all comes full circle when you get back to it there, or you have the conversation, Elon Musk and ultra rich and fusion and... Well, what is it?
Donald Trump making a CIA NFT now on the Kennedy report to go along with his new Superman cards.
Oh, jeez. See,
is that part of it?
I didn't want to bring him up. I try not to talk about
it. It's hilarious, Luke. It's hilarious. You can't not do it. It's too funny not to mention it. The guy's a year and a half late to the NFT scams, and he's still got people, you know, there will be people buying into this.
He's still trying to sell Playboy culture.
Grifters are going to grift. Yes, when he sees an opportunity to take part in the grift, he will absolutely do it. But doesn't mean that I want to talk about him grifting those poor suckers that are going to go buy those NFTs and then ultimately have the exchange go out because some 25-year-old kid is scamming FTX, and then
he's buying multi-million-dollar penthouses throughout the Bahamas. Yeah.
The important thing to remember is that all the tax dollars generated from all those transactions are going to fund trains that end up in Lagos. So, way to go, everyone.
The important thing to remember is you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you miss any portion of this fine show, we kind of devolved here at the end, but that's okay on a Thursday afternoon. Yeah, we're going full circle. But if you missed the show, you can go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us, to learn more. You can also see the excellent set of stations that we have constructed across the state of Wisconsin, all the other programming the network offers, and you can find out that you can tune in tomorrow at 2 p.m. to catch the next installment of Dueling Tangents. Thank you so much, Will.
Can I give a quick shout-out, Luke, to Solidarity Day for UAW 180, which will be Saturday, December 17th, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., 3323 Kearney Avenue, Racine, Wisconsin. UAW 180, man, they have been on strike for months now. We got to stick together.
Excellent shout-out, Will. We appreciate you joining us and providing those shout-outs. Brian and I will be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.